Are we currently in a pause, a pivot, or maybe even a surge? That's really the critical question floating around commercial real estate right now. And for you, our dedicated listener, understanding the answer, while it means staying not just informed, but truly ahead in a market that's anything but static. So our mission today is to dive deep into the most important commercial real estate news from this past week, specifically September 4th through the 12th, 2025. We've gathered a stack of recent articles, research, market reports, and we're going to distill the absolute key knowledge and insights, help you get well-informed quickly and effectively. And we're especially focused today on the dynamic Dallas-Fort Worth retail market. Unique trends are definitely emerging there. And understanding these local nuances, well, that's something we at Eureka Business Group emphasize every single day.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how the national economic currents are creating such a, well, a complex mix of signals. Mm-hmm. It really makes it challenging to get a clear read on where we truly stand.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Let's start with the broader economic picture. The Federal Reserve's latest beige book, that's their sort of qualitative report on conditions across the 12 Fed districts, the one for August 2025, indicates the U.S. economy is largely in pause. We're talking little to no growth reported in 11 of the 12 regions they track. That's pretty widespread.
That is a significant indicator. And, you know, while consumer spending has flattened or even fallen a bit, and rising costs, especially those driven by new tariffs, seem to be outpacing wage gains, we are seeing certain CRE sectors showing, well, remarkable resilience. For instance, data centers and infrastructure construction. They're actually surging in districts like Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Chicago. This seems largely fueled by the AI boom and ongoing public projects, is providing a rare boost in an otherwise cautious development climate.
Mm. That's interesting contrast. So while some sort of niche sectors are surging, are we seeing that broader caution still dominating developer sentiment in most regions?
Absolutely. On the flip side, many regions, including St. Louis, Minneapolis, Kansas City, they're reporting that developers are hitting pause on new projects. High borrowing costs and just general economic uncertainty are causing them to shelve or significantly slow down their plans. It really makes you wonder, how do these national economic headwinds translate to employment figures? Those are absolutely crucial for sustained real estate demand.
Right. And we just got some pretty significant news on that front, didn't we? A major revision from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It slashed U.S. job figures by a whopping 911,000 jobs from April 2023 to March 2024. That's the steepest adjustment we've seen in a decade. It suggests the post-pandemic job market was, well, considerably weaker than we initially thought. What does this steep adjustment really tell us about the strength of the labor market? And maybe more importantly, what's its ripple effect on real estate demand?
Well, in the grand scheme of things, a weaker labor market traditionally signals reduced demand for real estate across the board. It impacts sectors like development, leasing. However, the immediate market reaction, interestingly, saw bond yields fall. The 10-year Treasury dipped to around 4.05%. Now, this can, counterintuitively, actually stimulate some real estate activity by lowering financing costs. Still, it's vital to remember that structural headwinds, things like ongoing labor shortages, high construction costs, tight underwriting standards from lenders, they aren't going away quickly. So the insight here for investors, perhaps, is to look beyond just the headline numbers and understand the nuanced, often contradictory forces at play.
Okay, so with that broader economic backdrop established, let's turn our attention to how it's playing out in the national retail sector, which presents a really interesting, almost contradictory picture, as you said. On one hand, we have news of a major entertainment chain facing significant struggles. That clearly shows those inflationary pressures and tightening consumer wallets we just mentioned.
Right, you're probably referring to Pinstripes, the Italian-themed bowling and dining chain. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this week. For those maybe not familiar, Chapter 11 is a legal process that lets a company reorganize its debts while trying to keep operating, hoping to emerge stronger. They closed 10 of their 18 locations, including one right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Their chief restructuring officer cited inflation, declining consumer spending, noting that consumers are actively shifting to more cost-efficient alternatives for their out-of-home experiences. Apparently, the company generated 80% of its $129 million annual revenue from food and beverage sales, but was saddled with $143 million in debt. It's a stark example of how quickly the market can shift for these high-profile tenants when discretionary spending tightens up.
That really does highlight the vulnerability, doesn't it? Especially for businesses relying heavily on that discretionary spend. And compounding this, retail absorption across the U.S. has slumped. We've seen back-to-back quarters of negative net absorption, first time since the pandemic.
National retail vacancy also ticked up slightly to 4.9%. What's generally considered a healthy vacancy rate for retail, and what does this increase really signal?
Well, a healthy retail vacancy rate typically hovers around, say, 4 to 5%. So 4.9% indicates a market leaning, maybe just slightly, towards oversupply in some areas. But the interesting wrinkle here is that even as asking rents are hitting new highs, reaching $22.96 per square foot for single tenant, $21 for multi-tenant landlords are grappling with significant tenant financial stress. We're seeing regional malls, drugstores, department stores looking particularly weak. Regional mall vacancies surged to about 10.5% in July. That's quite high. However, on the flip side, fast food, convenience stores, auto repair properties, they remain in high demand. Sub 2% vacancy rates there. The silver lining, if you can call it that, is that new retail construction is at its lowest level since 2000. That might prevent oversupply from getting much worse. So the insight here is a clear bifurcation. Necessity-based, quick-service, value-oriented retail is faring much better than, say, experiential or traditional big-box retail.
And consumer caution is really starting to impact the upcoming holiday season, too, it seems. PwC forecasts U.S. consumers will spend about 5% less this holiday season compared to last year. That's the first significant drop since 2020. Gift spending, in particular, looks set to fall 11%. And 78% of consumers are actively seeking lower-cost options, deeper discounts. And for our younger shoppers, Gen Z, they're planning a pretty considerable 23% cut in their holiday budgets.
It really makes you wonder how retailers are going to adapt to these changing, more frugal consumer behaviors. Retailers' pre-tariff inventories are mostly sold through now, which means higher import tariff costs are going to directly hit consumers during the holidays. This pullback could definitely presage softer retail performance well into 2026. I think the key insight is that even financially secure households are likely to be more selective, you know, favoring value and experiences that deliver perceived bang for their buck.
Yet amidst all these national challenges, some pockets of retail are actually thriving. Luxury retailers, for example, they're expanding their brick and mortar footprints. Newly opened luxury retail square footage rose a significant 65.1% in the first half of 2025 compared to last year. That suggests a pretty stark divergence in the market, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It truly reflects a dual market. Upscale chains seem to be favoring street-level locations over traditional malls. And interestingly, a lot of this growth is driven primarily by Gen Z and millennial shoppers. So it suggests the top tier of consumers remains largely unaffected by broader economic headwinds. That creates unique opportunities for high-end development in specific affluent submarkets. But at the same time, across the country, store openings are still outpacing closings, roughly 6,500 openings versus 5,600 closings in 2025. That suggests an underlying resilience and adaptation in the sector, not a wholesale collapse. We're even seeing this locally, like a Dollar Tree taking over a former Party City here in DFW and Burlington moving into a former Joann and McKinney. It shows strategic repositioning and a focus on necessity and value, often by tenants who can repurpose existing larger footprints.
That really brings us right to our focus for this deep dive, Texas and the DFW Metroplex.
So having covered that complex national picture, let's dive specifically into our home state, where the retail landscape offers a very different, much more vibrant story. For the first time ever, Texas has claimed the top spot nationally in retail construction.
Yeah, what's particularly striking here is that Texas has approximately 17 million square feet of retail space under construction just in Q2 alone. That represents roughly one-third of the total national retail space currently under development. It's huge. The Dallas region specifically exemplifies what Colliers calls the new Texas retail paradigm. Decades of pretty conservative development have suddenly given way to unprecedented activity. It's certainly an exciting time for retail in our market, and something we at Eureka Business Group are seeing firsthand with our clients.
It's truly remarkable how Texas is bucking that national trend. What do you think are the absolute core drivers allowing DFW in particular to achieve this retail construction boom when nationally things are at historic lows? I think it really comes down to strong, sustained population growth, robust economic diversification, and crucially, retailers' continued confidence in the state's consumer spending power, despite those broader headwinds. And we see this confidence backed up by tangible metrics. Dallas-Fort Worth is experiencing an annual retail rent growth of 4.1%. That's significantly outpacing other major Texas markets like San Antonio and Austin. It points to strong fundamentals and a healthy environment for retail landlords in our area. It offers compelling opportunities for investors looking for stability and growth.
Okay, so with this booming construction and strong fundamentals, what specific retail activity are we seeing right here in DFW, sort of on the ground level?
Well, we recently saw Westwood Financial, that's a Los Angeles-based retail REIT, a real estate investment trust. they acquired the 100% leased shops at Stone Creek out in Rockwall. It's a grocery-anchored shopping center. Their COO highlighted the strong tenancy and the top-performing grocer as a natural fit for their portfolio and their long-term investment strategy in strategic Sunbelt growth markets like DFW. This really shows institutional capital recognizing the enduring value of necessity-based retail, even in a cautious national climate, particularly in our growing North Texas region.
Absolutely. Necessity-based retail continues to be a core strength we observe in the market, too. Now, another key development, although perhaps a more challenging one, is the Chapter 7 bankruptcy filing by Tricolor Holdings. That's a Dallas-area-based used car giant. Chapter 7 usually means liquidation of assets, right? This could put its 64 lease dealerships across six states, including Texas, potentially up for grabs. What's the local impact of that situation here in DFW beyond the immediate job losses?
Well, for DFW, this presents a unique redevelopment opportunity. As a VP at Caprock Partners noted, there just aren't that many sizable development tracts left in our core market. Vacant car dealerships often offer really valuable infill real estate, you know, undeveloped or underdeveloped land within an existing urban area. That land can be redeveloped, potentially even into industrial uses, given the rising land prices and rent growth we're seeing in DFW for industrial. So the situation is a cautionary tale for high-profile tenants, certainly, but it does open doors for astute investors looking for prime land parcels.
And we're also seeing some stability in certain retail leases, which is a good sign of continued commitment to the DFW market. Charter Furniture, a Texas furniture rental business, renewed its lease for an approximately 77,000 square foot warehouse showroom up in Addison, just north of downtown Dallas.
Right, that shows continued demand for that kind of space. And moving beyond just retail for a second, the overall growth of DFW significantly strengthens the retail environment here. For example, multifamily is seeing really strong investment in DFW. Colliers just acquired GREA Dallas, a 25-person multifamily investment sales team. Colliers' U.S. CEO cited DFW as one of the most dynamic multifamily markets in the country, pointing to strong economic fundamentals, population growth, investment activity. DFW actually ranked number 2 nationally for new apartment deliveries in Q2, with nearly 47,000 units under construction. This consistent population influx is a direct driver of retail demand. More residents mean more need for shops, restaurants, services.
True, but it's not without its challenges, is it? Dallas-based Lurin Capital is facing a $40.5 million loan default lawsuit. That highlights some distress among highly leveraged multifamily investors, particularly those who used floating rate debt for value add plays, you know, acquiring properties to improve them. But those plans kind of faltered when interest rates shot up. It's a reminder of the importance of sound financial strategies, even in a growth market like ours.
That's a critical point for investors, absolutely. How do you balance opportunity with risk in an environment with high interest rates and, frankly, cautious lenders? But on a more positive note for multifamily, Greystone provided a $19.7 million Fannie Mae loan for Legacy on Rock Hill. That's a 128-unit build-to-rent community up in McKinney, and it's 93.75% leased. That shows really strong demand for single-family rental products in growing suburban DFW markets, indicating continued household formation and migration to the area.
And our office market is making headlines, too. Which is welcome news. Canada's Scotiabank chose Dallas for a new U.S. office hub. They leased 133,000 square feet at Victory Commons 1 in Uptown, planning to create 1,000 new jobs. That's the largest high-end office lease in Dallas this year, a major win for the city.
Yeah, this is really interesting because it further solidifies Dallas-Fort Worth's reputation as a growing financial services center, earning it that playful nickname, Y'all Street. Demand for quality office space is definitely strong, especially in Uptown and the West Plano far north Dallas areas. It's driving more professionals and their families to our region. And again, this influx directly fuels our retail sector as new residents seek out restaurants, shops, and services.
Yet, even here in DFW, the labor force growth is showing some signs of cooling off a bit. The total number of employees increased by only 1% year over year in July, and domestic migration seems to have softened from its peak back in 2022. What are the broader implications if this cooling trend continues?
Well, stepping back to see the bigger picture, this cooling labor force, while still favorable compared to many metros, let's be clear, it could lead to broader macroeconomic uncertainty weighing on leasing across office and industrial properties in the longer run. For now, demand for space often reflects anticipated future growth. So keeping a close eye on these migration patterns is really key for forecasting future demand accurately.
Okay. And speaking of other sectors, you mentioned industrial earlier. We're also seeing strong indicators there right here in North Texas. What's caught your eye?
Absolutely. Ars Management, a big Los Angeles-based firm, just made a massive industrial play right here in North Texas. They acquired a 1.6 million square foot warehouse portfolio across Fort Worth and Arlington. These are fully leased properties, strategically located along major interstates in the DFW logistics corridor. They're benefiting from that sustained demand in logistics and manufacturing. This deal really underscores growing institutional capital interest, specifically in Fort Worth, showing that our entire region remains a prime hub for industrial and logistics operations.
So DFW is clearly showing resilience and growth across several sectors, but it's always helpful to put that in a broader regional context. How are things looking down in Houston, for example, particularly in sectors like office that have seen challenges elsewhere?
Yeah, it's a very different story down there, particularly for office. Houston's actually leading the nation in discounted office sales right now. A significant 69% of office property selling since 2023 traded below their previous sale prices. Many Class B and C buildings are changing hands at like 30% to 70% below pre-pandemic values. It's dramatic, but this dramatic repricing has actually jump-started activity. It's nearly doubled 2025 office investment volume compared to all of 2024. So it suggests that these severe price corrections, while obviously challenging for current owners, can revitalize transaction volumes by attracting opportunistic buyers who see long-term value.
Right. So while Houston is seeing distress, it's also seeing significant transaction volume, a different dynamic than DFW's strong leasing in the high-end spaces. What about the hotel market nationally? Are there any surprising bright spots or maybe subsectors that are defying the overall trend, even in challenging markets?
Nationally, U.S. hotels are facing a bit of a prolonged slump. RevPAR, that's revenue per available room, declined for the 10th consecutive week. Major markets are generally underperforming, with occupancies remaining pretty weak due to a pullback in both leisure and business travel. Plus, hoteliers are battling rising labor and utility costs, which really squeezes margins. However, even within this broader hotel challenge, Houston is seeing some high-end development. The announcement of Houston's first Ritz-Carlton Hotel and Residences, a 44-story luxury tower in their uptown, signals strong confidence in that specific luxury segment. Developers there are clearly betting on wealthy empty nesters and continued population growth to support this ultra-high-end offering. It's a distinct contrast to the broader national hotel trends. Wow, what an insightful week in commercial real estate. We've certainly covered a lot today, from the national economic pause to the vibrant yet complex retail landscape and the distinct strengths and challenges right here in Texas and the DFW Metroplex. It's clear that understanding these shifting dynamics is just vital for any commercial real estate investor or business owner.
Stepping back, I think the key takeaway is clear. The market is definitely in a period of adaptation, not simply decline. Texas, and particularly DFW, truly stands out with its robust retail construction, strategic multifamily investments, and strengthening office market, even as national trends show caution. The ability to identify niche strengths and capitalize on evolving demand patterns is absolutely paramount in this environment. And as a firm specializing in Dallas-Fort Worth commercial real estate, we at Eureka Business Group really emphasize that local expertise is more important than ever for navigating these complex currents successfully.
Indeed. And for you, our listener, understanding these nuances is absolutely key. It's not a monolithic market out there. It's about discerning where the growth is, where the opportunities lie, and maybe where caution is warranted. This kind of deep dive helps you make informed decisions, whether you're looking to invest, expand your business, or simply stay ahead of the curve. So here's a final thought to leave you with. Given that shift towards value-focused holiday shopping and the closure of entertainment venues like Pinstripes, what surprising new retail concepts or maybe reimaginings of existing spaces will emerge here in the DFW market to capture the increasingly cost-conscious yet still experience-seeking consumer of 2026? It's definitely a question that keeps us all thinking about what's next.